Hello, everybody, and welcome once again. This is Syracuse Sports, presented by Crouse Health, the exclusive healthcare partner for SU Athletics. We got the band back together. Brent Axe, Emily Liker with you as the Syracuse football team back on the practice field after a little bit of an Easter break. They had the weekend off for the holiday. Practice number 6 for the Orange, and today we're going to shine the spotlight a bit on the secondary and its role in the new 4-2-5 defense that Elijah Robinson is putting in. We heard today for the first time from Syracuse secondary coach Joe Schaefer. Fran Brown spoke to the media once again. He himself, of course, with a focus on the cornerbacks and the secondary. So, Emily, there's a lot to come from the backfield here and that position. But I wanted to just give a couple general observations in that we were at practice today and we got to see a brief team period, right? It was kind of an organized chaos. All of a sudden, everybody's running everywhere, and they did a little team period. And it looked to be the second team. You had Braden Davis in at quarterback. You had Yacine Willison at running back. So a couple of things there. One is, and I know we've seen this a bunch, but just the pace these practices go at. We're not there the whole time. But the players have told us how frantic it is, how they're running everywhere. And I think it's funny, Emily, because, you know, when Dino Babers comes in 2015 into 2016, that's what we heard, right? This fast-paced offense that he was going to go at. But I don't recall the players saying under Dino that practices were this intense. That just stood out to me today, even in just the time we were there, just like the frantic pace that these guys go at.
Right. I mean, especially with that team period, like when they were switching out who was on the field, like it was go, go, go. You better be out there in 3 seconds switching positions with these guys. And yeah, we saw it was like second, third string offense, maybe a mix. It definitely was a lot more mixed, I think, on the offensive side than the defensive side. The defensive side, I believe we did get a pretty clear look at who's shaking out to be the first team defense. And took some notes on who was there, minus the D-line, which is sometimes hard to see. But yeah, I mean, the tempo continues to be just so up-paced, and like it keeps you on your toes like the whole time of practice.
So in that brief team period, I think we saw a glimpse of, people were wondering at the end of last year why Syracuse just did not throw the football. They had this hybrid offense with Dan Villari and LaQuinn Allen kind of doing their thing. Why didn't they let Braden Davis throw the ball more? Maybe we saw a bit of that today in that brief, hectic period. Now, mind you, he's going against the first-team defense. As you said, it's one day. But he had an almost interception. Marcellus Barnes Jr., somebody we'll talk about today with the focus on the secondary, dropped an easy one, which he probably had to do about 15 up-downs for. That's been something I've heard a lot. You drop a ball, you're doing the up-downs, right? Which a lot of football teams do that, but it's just been funny to see that. The second pass, Braden Davis just overthrew a wide open guy on the sideline, right? And maybe it was just, he had a bad day. It can happen, right? But I did see maybe a glimpse of why that second quarterback position is probably still Carlos Del Rio Wilson's job at this point, or at the very least, why there's a competition there. And that's an important position, as we've well covered here. The backup at Syracuse, you know, you hope it's not the case because of injuries and things of that nature, but they get on the field one way or the other. So that is still very much a work in progress with Jakari Williams and AJ Miller to come. Remember, in fall camp, they're not there now.
Right. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things that gets overlooked to some degree in kind of like where we are at in college football right now is like, I think we forget sometimes how much maturity it takes to be a first string starting quarterback at a Power Five program. Like that is just a level that, one, like not everyone's built for, but like even if you're built for it, takes reps and takes practice to get there. And you know, Fran has said like the quarterback on his team is the second in charge below the head coach, and that's a lot to put on a 19-20 year old kid, and especially when you add in the fact that like these guys who are coming up and are not bona fide starters from the second they step on a college football field, they are not getting consistent reps because the transfer portal is coming in. And so it's like, you're always competing with a guy who's coming from another program who might be more experienced. And like, it's just, it's so hard. Like there's not a lot of QB development, I think, in the same way there was for so long, where you would see a guy get brought into a program and he was there for 4 or 5 years. And like, that's not an issue with all positions like it is with a quarterback, I think. And so it's really interesting. Obviously, both of Syracuse's backup quarterbacks right now are transfers. Carlos Del Rio Wilson came from Florida after his freshman year. Braden Davis came from South Carolina.
That's a good point. Yeah, the whole room.
Right. But neither of them played much there. They were just getting practice reps. And here, they're pretty much getting practice reps too. And you know, I don't know exactly what the split is between giving Kyle all the reps versus them. But maybe we'll get to find out more. I think we're talking to quarterbacks coach Nunzio Campanelli on Thursday. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, the QBs, if they don't have to run off to class.
Right. Yes. That academic thing. Student athletes still exist in this world of NIL and the portal and everything we're talking about. Let's face it. You're comparing them to Kyle McCord. It's funny, Emily. Mm-hmm. I had a national media figure text me this morning and say, how's Kyle McCord looking? And my response was, he's a dude. He looks the part. His arm, the presence, the command. Like, he is just cut from that cloth of that experienced multi-year quarterback that, you know, ran one, you know, an offense at Ohio State, one of the biggest programs in the country and one of the best conferences in college football. He looks that part, but it also stresses the importance of, and the drop-off, and that's no offense to Braden Davis and Carlos Del Rio Wilson, but there is a drop-off between the command and the presence we've already seen from a guy like Kyle McCord to the next thing. So that backup quarterback is certainly going to continue to be a work in progress here. But as noted, Emily, we really put the spotlight today on the secondary, and you just noted it there. So mind you, it's April 2nd and this is still a work in progress, but I think you kind of sniffed out what the working first team is in that secondary and the linebackers as well. So let's give people an update on that.
Right. So let's just go through. I've made note of who's working out with the cornerbacks and who's working out with the safeties first, right? Because you look at a roster and they're all labeled defensive back. And so getting the read on who's where is important. So the cornerback room is the smaller one, but it has Jaden Bellamy, who obviously played a decent amount of time last year, Devin Grant, who's that transfer from Buffalo, Martellus Barnes Jr., the 2024 product out of Tennessee, who was an All-American, stuff like that, Jaleel Martin, Greg Delane, and then Clay Masters. And so when we saw those first team reps in the team period today, it was Bellamy and Grant, which I don't think is surprising at all. Obviously, like I said, Bellamy played a bit last year across from Isaiah Johnson and sometimes a couple other guys and rotated through that a little bit, especially in the back half of the season. And then Grant is still young, but he at least has a year up on Martellus Barnes Jr., who I would then say is probably that third guy that's going to be in one of those backup spots. And, you know, someone else that I don't think it was today that he was mentioned, but either Fran or someone else in the past couple of weeks mentioned Greg Delane stepping up a little bit. And mm-hmm. So he might be that other backup, but that's the cornerback room. And we'll talk a little bit about Fran working with them. I know we have some audio about that, I'm sure. Safeties, you got Justin Barron, Elijah Clark, returning starters, kind of anchors of this team. Deuce Chestnut, who's been moved to the safety room, right? We've already talked about that a little bit. Tommy Porter, Cornell Perry, Jaden Gould, Raheem Long Jr., and Barry Buxton III. And so that's taking up the three safety spots, the two traditional high safeties, and then what under this regime is called the star position, which we can talk about a little bit.
Yeah, I want to get into that, but just to backtrack a little bit with Grant getting in there, you got to remember this guy was an all MAC player, first team last year. He led the MAC with 5 interceptions last year. So, I mean, that is just an instant ball hawk that steps in. Deuce Chestnut certainly has that reputation as well, though he is at safety. But when you've got Deuce and Cinco at safety, and that leads us to the star position, Emily, which is the same clarification they used at Georgia for this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a linebacker safety hybrid. And I want to play a clip here. We had an opportunity for the first time today to catch up with new defensive back coach Joe Schaefer. And here's how he described that star position.
Yeah, the guys right now that are playing that spot, right, Justin Barron, Jaden Gould, I mean, they're doing a great job. But really, all three of those guys are interchangeable. All three of those guys in the back end, you know, they all have to know both safety spots, the star spot. But what we're looking for is a guy that really, we want that guy around the ball a little bit more than we may the two higher safeties. you know, but he's got to be able to make plays in the rush game. He's got to be able to make plays in the pass game. He's got to be kind of a jack of all trades, you know what I mean? So identifying that guy is really important, really critical to what we're doing.
So, Emily, what Joe Schaefer is describing there, that's Justin Barron. He mentioned him and Jaden Gould getting in there, but the way he described it, the way I understand what the position is, like, that's Justin Barron all the way.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at how Justin Barron is built. He's one of the taller guys in that safety room. He's one of the broader guys, the thicker guys. Like, he has a linebacker's build to some degree. Like, he and Derek McDonald look similar. He and Marlo Wax look similar. And so it's no surprise. It also is, like, pretty similar to the Rover role he was already kind of doing in the 3-3-5. So not too much different there. Obviously, a guy that you want to see in action with the ball as much as possible. We saw him break up a ton of stuff last year. I should have pulled up his stats, but I mean, he's a disruptor. And so this is the perfect position for him.
So we mentioned where the positions are at this point and who's in what room. When we watched the one-on-ones today, Emily, we saw the receivers take on the secondary here for an extended period of time. What stood out to you there?
Yeah. So at the very top of that kind of goal line one-on-one session that we closed the viewing period with, I didn't have a great view of it, but I did see Deuce take down Dan Villari down in the corner, broke up a pass there. Dan caught some heat for it a little bit from one of the coaches. But, you know, I think one of the things with Chestnut is he's not short, but he's on the shorter side, right? Like, you had Isaiah Johnson last year, who's like 6'3", 6'4", and Deuce is only 6 foot, I think. And so when you're going up against a tall receiver, that can cause some issues potentially. But I mean, he broke up Dan, no problem. We saw interceptions from Justin Barron. He had a really good grab, kind of arms outstretched to go over the head of someone. I couldn't see who it was. It was on the opposite end of the field. Deuce had an interception later. Barry Buxton III had an interception. So that safety room, I mean, is looking really good in pass coverage and going man. Obviously, we won't see that necessarily that often. But, I think the safety room and the defensive back room as a whole is going to be such a unique position to watch this spring, just this spring and going into the season, because of how close Fran Brown is in coaching it and because they're his babies. And that's something Justin's talked about a few times, right? Is he has never had a head coach who has been so involved with his position group before. And so I think we're really going to see a lot of these guys blossom come this season.
Yeah, it was interesting to see Fran. You mentioned, so Deuce broke up a throw to Dan Villari and the contrast of coaching. So Fran runs in there. He is just praising Deuce left and right. That's how you do it. That's how you break up the play. And then immediately he goes to Dan Villari and goes, how big is he and how big are you? Like, get that ball. Like, right. I just love how it's like you catch two brothers fighting and, you know, one, it's always the second one that like started the fight that gets caught. And the first one's like, what'd I do? Right. It was interesting to see Fran just immediately contrast the styles of coaching. And I put out a video on X where you can see Fran working with the secondary, how involved he is, how energetic he is. And we saw him show off his arm a little bit, Emily. He was doing a drill where he was just chucking the ball down the field as far as he could and basically saying, go get the ball, go chase it down, right? Like challenging the speed and the awareness of these guys to go chase down the ball. And one thing I asked Fran about, and I'm going to play the clip here, in working with the secondary as much as you do, what is something that you have brought to the team as a secondary coach that you've noticed that you've had to work on and has improved with this team? Here's what he said about it.
I'm just working on eye discipline, you know, eye discipline and transition, just understanding those little details that a lot of times they don't really think are important, and understanding and knowing, you know, you're going to do it over and over and over again. You know, we may only do two drills because you haven't done that the right way, but we can't go on until you do certain things the right way, because eye discipline is everything when it comes to being a good corner, being in a good secondary anyway. Got to know your job, your alignment, and your eyes. They all have to be right.
There's the D and dart there, Emily, the details that Fran is looking for.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that today was that we got a lot of specific examples of what that detail looks like from like an on-field perspective, because we've heard a lot about like, oh, like the weight room work and how you have to make sure the S's on the plates are turned upwards and like stuff off the field. But hearing about the on-field detail work really stood out today.
We did meet Joe Schaefer a little bit today, and he was talking about his role and why he was brought here to Syracuse, the conversations he had with Coach Fran. He was really impressed with how much Fran Brown focused on other things besides football, family, and reasoning there. But you asked him this, Emily. Let's listen in. This is Joe Schaefer on why he decided to come to Syracuse.
The people. So starts with Coach Brown. Obviously, I had a prior relationship, right, working with Coach Elijah Robinson, and I knew about his relationship with Coach Fran and how far back that went. And after speaking with Coach Fran, it was like, just point me in the direction and tell me where to go. So, you know, he's just as genuine as anybody I've ever met. And that's really all you can ask for, right? Every day, know where you stand, and it's awesome working for him.
So just a reminder for those that don't remember, Joe Schaefer comes to Syracuse. As he noted, he worked with Coach Robinson at Texas A&M 2 years there. I started his tenure at Texas A&M just ahead of the 2022 season. He also coached linebackers as well. So, look, this is what happens. Coaches know coaches. They want to get him on the uptick, if you will. And this is somebody that Coach Robinson wanted to bring with him to Syracuse. And after talking to Coach Fran, it was the right fit.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing I had heard about him from some of the players, but then also some of the recruits I've been talking to who've had the chance to sit in on meetings, is that they've been really impressed with just how detailed he is in how he teaches the scheme and just approaches those off-field things, which kind of right now and with introducing a new coaching staff is the most important thing. It may be maybe more important than his off-field or his on-field coaching, right? Because you're installing all this stuff. So I asked him about that at the end of our time with him, and you know, he kind of spread it around to Coach Robinson and Coach Wright as well, that they've been really purposeful in how they've taught the install and what the progression has been in terms of laying out what this defense looks like. And so again, there's that detail, that D and Dart. And I thought that was really interesting, and just hearing him kind of talk about, like, it's not often that coaches get to come in and install a defense literally from day one and like be there when the new coordinator's there, when the new head coach is there. Like, usually these position coaches come in and someone has already been in charge for like 4 or 5 years and stuff like that. And so that was something I hadn't thought about and I thought was interesting.
Couple more from Fran Brown here. And Emily, I know you've got a story coming out on Deuce Chestnut that people should keep an eye out for here, but it was really interesting to hear Fran reveal just how close he is to Deuce Chestnut and how close their families are. So let's listen into a couple things that Fran said about not only moving to Deuce Chestnut, the safety and what's involved there football-wise, but just his relationship.
I have a chance to know the kid. I know who he is in the core. You know, so when you know someone inside out, you kind of say, you know what, you want to help, you know. I'm from Camden, New Jersey. So if I see a kid that has an opportunity of getting an education, that athletically, academically, it'd be a good fit. You know, I just felt as though, why would we not do this, you know, for the program, for him, you know, just for all pieces.
Another one from Fran Brown here on Deuce Chestnut.
Yeah, I mean, our family is like close. You know, I knew Deuce and my son have been friends since they were like 4 or 5. I mean, since he was playing like little league football. When they first started, we kind of knew each other. And, I mean, he's really, everyone, you go where we're from, we're cousins. You know, that's what everyone tell you. That's my little cousin. So, you know, everyone knows it. I mean, he's as close as blood is going to get, you know. I mean, just understanding. And he's a good kid that I care about a lot. I care about Deuce more as a person than football, you know, because he'll only play football if he's lucky, you know, some more years. But I know he'll be able to become a good father by being around, just a good man. I want him to be a good husband one day. You know, those are the things that are important to me when it comes to Deuce and all the other kids that I've known on the team, period, but other kids that I truly, truly know. You know, it's something about, you know, them coming from where I'm from and them being able to follow what I'm doing and being able to mimic and have those same type of households and things of that nature.
So, Emily, the last pod we did the Jersey show, and the connections that run deep on this program with the guys from Jersey, like, that's it right there. You just heard Coach Brown lay it out there and what that means.
Yeah, and I mean, Deuce has always kind of been at the center of that, right? Like, we talked about him and Cinco kind of laying the foundation for that Camden connection of this era. And yeah, you know, I'm hoping to talk to him one more time this spring to tie up some loose ends and get that story out there. We've been pushing up against class time for a lot of these guys with practice, so that's why there wasn't a ton of player quotes from us today that you heard today.
And he did mention Fran Brown on moving Deuce to safety. He was asked about that again. I wanted to play that.
I just want the best, try to have the best players on the field. You know, we always try to have the best 11. You know, guys try to put, well, different ones. You want to always try to have the best 11 and putting them in position where you have the chance to play on Sunday. You know, I think that when these kids are playing football, most of the time as a coach, I could have put him at corner and he'd probably be better than some of the corners at the moment because he's played it a lot. But why not put him in a position where he can succeed and he'll have an opportunity of even a chance to play after, you know, college football and putting him in the best position because he does have natural instincts and ability to go catch the ball, be able to cover tight ends and do things of that nature. So just want to put him in the best position to help him help himself one day.
This is a pretty strong secondary on paper, Emily. When I mean, by the way, the Deuce Chestnut thing, like it what's, I'm trying to think of, it's not the Streisand effect. It's something else. When like Deuce Chestnut at LSU, like, did that really happen? Like, it was such a blur.
The Mandela effect?
I think that's Mandela? What it is. I think that's what it is. Like, did that actually happen that he was at LSU? Because the way we talk about Deuce, it's like he was never gone, right? Mm-hmm. He goes to LSU. He's back already. Hearing the connection that he has with Fran Brown, the role he's going to play on this team with, you know, a solid corner in Bellamy, a guy in Grant that had the interceptions he had, Barron, the veteran that comes back. Obviously, Cinco is a great safety there. Like, this is rounding out to be a very solid secondary, and just feels like Deuce was like the last piece to the puzzle, but it also feels like he never left in a way and has always been a part of this conversation.
Right. Well, and it's so interesting to me, like this, like Fran's argument more or less for why he's moved Deuce is that it's not only going to help the team, but it's going to help Deuce be a more marketable defensive back for NFL scouts and for NFL teams. And just moving a player to round out their skill set, I think, is such an interesting thing. And obviously, like, you can't do it with every player. Like, not everyone is going to be adapted to be able to go and learn a different spot. And there's different things and different intricacies with each position. But, you know, Joe Schaefer said it today, like, Deuce has a very high football IQ, is very headsy, I think was a phrase that he used, which I thought was funny. And knows a lot of football. And so that's something you can do with him. It's funny. I was watching that LSU Iowa basketball game last night. And I know I don't follow basketball on either women's or men's super closely, but I know like with like Haley Van Lith, something that was talked about a lot last night was that her role with LSU had changed a lot from her role with Louisville. And like, she had to like adapt to that, and hopefully Deuce doesn't have to go through what HVL went through last night with Caitlin Clark. But I, hearing some of the conversation about that and how she learned to kind of round out her game and take on such a different role at a new school, it reminded me of this situation with Deuce a little bit.
Be a good thing to do in a future podcast to go through the quarterbacks, go through the offenses, go through the challenges that the secondary is going to face mm-hmm. on the Syracuse football schedule as we go through, and just how important a role that they are going to play in that. Emily, any other closing thoughts here before we wrap up shop here and look ahead to the rest of the week and what's upcoming here in spring practice?
I don't think so. You know, I'm hoping we get another little bit glimpse at team period on Thursday.
It was good to see that. Yeah.
Right. One thing that did occur to me was like the fact that we're seeing that now means that they feel like they're making progress and could move ahead with changing up what practice looks like instead of just doing kind of the same drills. And you heard Fran say it, I think, in a piece of audio we played, that like he will run the same drill over and over and over again if he doesn't think players are getting it. So the fact that we saw a slightly different practice schedule today, and of course leading up to their first scrimmage on Saturday, I think that definitely shows that they are progressing and moving along, and the coaches are at least pleased enough with progress to switch things up a little bit.
That's a good thing to know. First of two scrimmages coming up, which by the way are closed to the media, so we won't get to be there for that, but we'll certainly do our best to give you highlights from that and what happens in those scrimmages. We're going to hear from Nunzio Campanelli later this week, of course, was the interim coach for a game after Dino Babers was fired, is now in charge of those quarterbacks that we talked about briefly. at the beginning of the podcast. So looking forward to that. And as Emily said, some of these players have tight class schedules when it comes to practice ending and media availability. So we'll see who we get to talk to later this week. And just a reminder, it's always great to hear from our Syracuse sports insiders and the questions you have for Emily and I, the thoughts you have on Syracuse football. You guys have been great and showing a lot of love to us and what we've been doing for you. And it goes two ways. We love hearing what you want to hear about and the questions that you have. To become a Syracuse Sports Insider, it's so easy. Just text the word ORANGE to 315-847-3895. We'll send you quotes from media sessions, what we see in practices, all the stuff you get first, and exclusive insight as a Syracuse Sports Insider. Not only on football, but they got a big note first from Uncle Brent about Eddie Lampkin, a rather big recruit in the transfer portal that Syracuse is chasing from Colorado. You were the first to know as a Syracuse Sports Insider that he was visiting Syracuse this week. All the inside opinions, analysis on that, lacrosse, and just everything going on in a busy time. Become a Syracuse Sports Insider today. It's 2 weeks free and just $3.99 a month after that. Emily, thank you so much as always. We'll talk again later this week after practice number 7 for the Orange, but that's a wrap on practice 6 and the focus on the secondary. This has been Syracuse Sports, presented by Krause Health, the official healthcare partner for SU Athletics. We'll talk to you next time, guys.